Good morning, everybody. Today is Tuesday, April 21st, 2015. And this is Before the First Cup of Jules here on UCY.TV. Good morning. Happy Tuesday. Hope everybody is doing well this Tuesday AM. It is currently 49 degrees and partly sunny here in upstate New York. It actually looks pretty nice, but I bet it's a little bit nippy out. We had some pretty good mega rains come through here yesterday in New York, and I think it was the remnants of that storm that had whipped through Texas and Louisiana, Mississippi, Arkansas a couple days ago. It shot right up the East Coast and then like did this backward spin back over us. It was pretty wicked, but looks like most of that's gone. A little bit of green on the map, but hey, a little bit of rain in spring is good. So, all right, I literally rolled out of bed about 3 minutes ago. So talk about unprepared. Not really, because I mean, I'm always prepared. There's probably 100 stories I put together in the last 3 days for us to talk about. But talk about unprepared, Jules awakeness. I haven't even had one sip of coffee yet. So let's all do a group sip together. One, two. There we go. All right, I feel much more awake now. Not really. Where to even start? It's like the light in here is freaking blinding me. I think I'm going to start wearing prescription sunglasses. We were talking about that yesterday. You know what? There was a story that came out that caught my attention. And if you have not been listening to this show for the last few months or years, some people have been here years, people. They have been. If you haven't been listening to the show for a while, you probably didn't hear me go off about dogs. Lots of interesting things about dogs lately. The microbiome, being able to share your microbiome. There was a story that I didn't hit on that came out last week about oxytocin. I think that's what it's called. Yeah, oxytocin. That's the love chemical. That's the bonding chemical that is produced when you're pregnant, when you have a child. You gaze into your child's eyes and you both produce oxytocin. When you breastfeed, produces oxytocin. That's a bonding chemical. Well, they have now discovered that, yes, that is what makes Fido man's best friend, is that Fido staring longingly into your eyes makes your body and the dog create oxytocin. You bond like a child with your dog. And that's very interesting because, like I've said before, one of the things you don't want to mess with is a parent and their child. Now, I know. I mean, for anyone out there who doesn't have kids, they always think that the pets are like the kids. Trust me. Everyone told me they're like, Joel, they're nothing alike, Joel. Yeah, no, they're nothing alike. I at least was still partially sane when I had 3 cats and it was just me. Now I just sit in a corner and cry. Sometimes, not really, but some days it's just a little much. Okay, it's not the same. But that bond is there. There are some of the same chemicals that are produced. Some people are as loopy over their animals as parents can be over their children, and now it makes a lot more sense. So one of the ways that we were warned back in 2007, I believe, is when I took that FEMA course way back, Bush-financed FEMA dollars, wanting to train all the community and get them ready for the terrorists coming across the Mexican border with dirty bombs and the anthrax outbreaks, that we'll be able to help defend and hand out drugs to our neighbors or give injections when we have a pandemic. I mean, literally, that's what they were training us for. So when we see all this crap that's transpiring right now, I mean, it's not like didn't think about the stuff, and you could see it all ramping up. Except I don't think they're going to use the community emergency preparedness groups anymore. That went away one day. I mean, I think there are probably still some places that are doing it, but there was a mass funding at one time, and I don't think there's any of that mass funding happening anymore. You know, once they got to a certain point, that kind of dried up. So, but one thing that I see, one thing that they warned us about is that if the terrorists want to strike at the heart of the country, one of the places they would go would be for your children. And yeah, that could just be fear porn, but on the other hand, it's actually not, because that's a, you know, if you think about where the most terror would come from out of anything or anywhere or any circumstance, having something happen to your child, for anyone who's a parent out there, knows that that would be the most devastating thing ever, because you would do anything to make sure that that child survives. I mean, that's biological. It's pre-programmed into you. Like I was saying, so now they've discovered we have this oxytocin bond, right, with our children. That's what helps create the mama bear reaction, is this oxytocin. I'm sure there's other chemicals involved, you know, whatever. And giving birth to a child is definitely different than going to the shelter and picking up a little Fido. But your child and Fido both elicits the same sorts of loving responses. Hence, knee-jerk reaction. You would do anything. You would go over and above to protect your pet as you would your child. Well, so we see a few other interesting things here. So we find out the other day that dogs' microbiome, actually, I think we started talking about the cat with the toxoplasmas and how that toxoplasmas parasite can actually get into your brain and like change your brain so you do things that are more beneficial to the cat. And I don't know if we ever read that story a second time. We did it years ago. But yes, toxoplasmas can actually get into your brain and turn you into a cat lover if you're exposed to it often enough. And I don't know. I'm sure that I had it years ago. I've had cats my entire life. I'm sure I'm a slave to cats. But whatever, they don't bother me much. I just let them walk on me when I'm sleeping. But with dogs, we discovered that, and we always heard that, like, dog spit, if you had a cut on your hand, should let a dog lick it because it had some sort of antibacterial. Well, it has all kinds of things, I guess. They've been studying now the dog microbiome, and a couple things that they found is that we actually swap bacteria with the pet. Like, we have, when we have a pet dog, we literally have the dog's bacteria living in our body, and it's moved into our body and is colonizing alongside our bacteria in our microbiome. Part of our dog's bacterial community has moved over into our body as well. And but the, even the stranger than that is that they discovered that there were all kinds of beneficial side effects from cats. That's really kind of strange. So, all right, I mean, we talked about all that stuff. That was over the last couple of weeks. Those stories came up. I was just kind of laying a groundwork there. So one of the other things we discussed, and I brought this up the other day again, was, you know, all these, and let's get off on, you know, all these different never before seen flus, never before seen infections. Oh my God, look, there's a new virus out there. Actually, I just saw, we'll have to look at how many. It was like right before I stopped paying attention to the news, but I thought it was like 5 million, 500 million, some astronomical number of chickens in the heartland that they had to call because of bird flu. Now that's, I know I've heard it a few times on a small scale here, but never that kind of number. So that's kind of scary. We'll look at that when when I'm done with this dog story. I know, trying to talk and type at the same time. It's hard for me. All right, so anyway, we were talking about there's this new dog flu, let's say, and but I mean, that's just not the only thing. There's all these other crazy things, you know. Number four, say, haven't seen in 50 years. Let's talk about all of it. My brain's not working fast this morning, so I'm on slow-mo. You guys fill in the blanks. But one of the things that we heard them announce and the horror behind it and people protesting was during the quote-unquote Ebola outbreak. There were two individuals who had dogs, and those dogs were put into quarantine. I don't know if they both were destroyed or not. I'm pretty sure that the one was, because I remember thinking, what a horrible thing. Like, you get sick and you don't even know if you're going to live, and then you got your little best friend there, and they just, like, freaking shoot him up and say, see you later, Charlie. I mean, that's just awful. And they didn't even know if that dog was sick. They just said that the dog could carry the disease and be a spreader of the disease, and they didn't want to take that chance. And at that time, I was like, ding, 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 ding. Using our pets as disease vectors. And after everything that we've read about now, about Plum Island and Eric Traub, the former Operation Paperclip veterinary scientist and animal sickness germ warfare doctor that came over and visited Plum Island a few times. After all we've learned from that and using their experimentation with mosquitoes and fleas and ticks and tsetse flies, why wouldn't they put it into a different animal that sleeps with you every night, that gets into your kid's bed every night? Think about it. If you really wanted to get on the inside of the American household, I mean, sure, a flea or a tick might get you if you live in wooded parts of the country, or if it's infected a prairie dog out in the desert somewhere and you happen to go on a road trip to that particular area with infected prairie dogs. But your pets, and I'm not really talking about the cats, because they didn't establish all, they established the toxoplasmas brain thing, but they didn't establish all these other connections like they did with the dog just over the last few months. And so last night I saw the cherry on the whipped cream to this whole thing that I've been cooking up in my head about this thing with the dogs and them being able to be used as disease vectors. So, hold on, let's go back here. Sorry, guys, my allergies are really starting up now because, of course, all the pollen. Let's scroll down. Don't mind me. I'm just so fucking slow today, but whatever. I'm here. Stop complaining. Oh boy. We have weeks worth. I have so many stories that I put together and I just never even get to one drop of them. It's so sad. Lots and lots of good, crazy stuff. But I got to get down to, here's one of them. I'll open this one. All right. Here, let's, ba-dum-bum-bum. We could do the A-team music. Da-da-da-da. Da-da-da-da. Da, 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 da. I think that's how it goes. All right, I'm trying to connect myself. Add to call. Oh, God, this is a lot of work in the morning. All right, here. All All right, so this is one of the newest clips that came out that we didn't get to play.
There's an urgent warning for pet owners. A deadly strain of the flu now striking dogs, rarely seen here in the U.S.
There we go. Deadly strain, rarely seen. Isn't that the way it always happens to go? Like, wow, haven't been seen in 50 years. And it's in a resurgent, like, everybody's got it now. I mean, all I call is absolute utter bullshit on this. Haven't been seen here, rarely seen, and now it's spreading everywhere like wildfire. Really? Just out of the blue, wildfire, dog flu. I've had pets my whole entire fucking life, okay? I'm 46 years old. I had two dogs when I was a kid, and those dogs lived to be ripe old ages. My dogs never had dog flu, never had to get a shot for dog flu, nor did we even worry about dog flu, okay? So to tell me, like, this is a new thing that, like, yeah, it comes up every few years and you just haven't been paying attention, you know, that excuse that they like to use. No, it's always been like that. It's just they publicize it more now. Bullshit. I mean, right? Is it me? Bullshit. Where was there a dog flu that's taking out dogs? Maybe cat flu, distemper, that stuff. They got shots for that. Yeah. Dogs, they have distemper and that, but dog flu, that's like an outbreak everywhere.
More than 1,000 dogs sick in the Chicago area alone, and this flu is now showing up in several states. Tonight,
And now it's spreading. It's a pandemic. Ah! Your Fido, your beloved child Fido, is going to get this new flu.
Owners urged to get their dog a flu shot, and here's ABC's Alex.
Yes! We are now going to urge you to get your dog a flu shot. Line them up at CVS. Get in line. Just like you, you good little sheeple. Line up and get your new nano-infused fucking flu shot. And can you believe this? Like, we've been hearing about the dog flu for a few weeks now, but this is the first time it's spread to multiple states. Oh, poor Fido. And now you better line up and get your shot. I mean, I just, when I heard this, and I, yeah, okay, this is the one. This was the cherry on top that got me fired up after the show yesterday to do a show today. We just had to push the right button. All right, let's, I'm gonna be quiet now because that's only 16 seconds of that video that I played. So let's play the rest of it now. And I will try and stay quiet.
Perez in Chicago.
This boxer mixed named Buster being treated with an oxygen mask and an isolation after an outbreak that has Chicago area doggy hospitals working around the clock. Canine influenza. Some 1,300 pooches in four Midwest states, most in the Chicago area. At least six have died. Elizabeth Estes' dog Ollie got sick overnight.
His cough was horrible.
Sick dogs can become lethargic, run a high fever, and have raspy breathing. Researchers are tracing the virus to a rare strain of bird flu from Asia.
Oh, you are fucking kidding me. They did not just say that. They did not just say we're tracing this to a rare bird flu from Asia, and it got into our dogs. Come on. Well, because like I said, now there's bird flu in the United States. They just had to call. Wait, I just pulled up the story. I went out there. It was like 5 million fucking chickens in Iowa. Jax, no less. All right, here. So wait, let's back this up again so we make sure we hear this without me yelling over it.
Rare strain of bird flu from Asia.
Rare form of bird flu from Asia.
It's very easy to transmit. Nose-to-nose contact, sneezing, coughing. But also if a dog sneezes on you, on your clothes, and then you go pet another dog, it can be transmitted by your clothes.
Warning.
So you become the disease vector for your dog as well. I know that in some of these farm flus, swine flu, bird flu, one of the things that you do have to be careful of once your farm has been infected and once it's in the area is even your tires driving into the farm can bring contaminated soil onto the farm that'll get your pet sick, get your farm animals sick. So you do have to be really careful. But come on. A rare form of bird flu is now infecting dogs. Isn't that cross species? Doesn't that make this an official pandemic? When it can pass from one species to another, a fucking chicken and a dog are big differences in biology. And remember what I told you guys at the beginning of this year? Was it the beginning of this year? I think it was. Where I had seen that lung plague pass between me and my cats and back again. And there's only one other time when I was a kid that I ever remember either getting sick from my cat or getting my cat sick. That isn't something that happens easily. And it's not you that makes the difference as to whether or not something's going to jump from one species to another. It's the virus or the bacteria that decides whether or not it's going to be able to do the cross species boundary, right? And it mutates. So how is this even possible? I mean, I know I'm calling bullshit a lot on a lot of things, but I mean, I'm not crazy and I'm not dumb. And I've been paying a lot of attention for a lot of years. Since when? I just see a story off to the side here. New bird flu strain infects the first human. I mean, remember that? Remember when they first started yelling about pandemics? And it was because those viruses did not jump species. She just said, the veterinarian just said, it can get onto your pet, it's bird flu, it's rare strain from Asia. Your dog can get it. And then you can, well, okay, maybe they didn't say that yet. Hold on. Hold on. Hold the phone. You can spread it, but maybe you can get it too. Ooh. Oh,
hold on. It's now up here at dog parks where dogs can easily spread the virus. The current dog flu vaccine doesn't cover this strain, but vets say pets should still get the shots. And if something's...
Hey, didn't we hear that same thing? The flu shot does not cover this year's strain, but you should get it anyway.
Seems wrong with your pup? Always call your vet. Alex Perez, ABC News, Chicago.
It's all right. I probably ranted a little too much on that one, but still. Hold on. So that was the title, Dogs Hit by Flu Strain, Vets Urge Shots. I mean, this was right on the heels of... I don't even remember what new vaccination we were looking at, but here, I'm going to drop that one. Yeah, how did dogs get this bird flu? That's what I want to know, Joe. Like, and this is, oh, yeah, it's some rare bird flu out of China. How'd the bird flu get here in my pet dog in Chicago? And now spreading to multi-states? And this is just beyond. So hold on. Just don't mind me for a second because I got to find the cherry on top to this one that I, the story that I found yesterday. Oh, we got to talk about this one too. But hold on. Hold the phone. All right. So here is a follow-up video now. 2 days later, this one, that first one was out of ABC News. This one's out of CBS News. So listen to now what they're saying. Oh. I must have struck a nerve. Well, I'm not going to give up on this one. And here comes that whacked out echo, too. But nothing's going to load on me. So you know what? Screw this shit. I'm already half asleep. But my fingers can move fast on the keyboard, so let's log into this other machine that I know works. They're not getting away with it that easily. I guess we'll see. Hold on, we're getting there. I gotta play this. Isn't that great how that always happens?
All right, let's try this one more time.
This is the machine that just goes on like full throttle back, it seems like. We're just nothing loans then after we do a good story. All right, well, fuck it. Before the first cup. There we are. And, of course, all my machines have been forcibly rebooted by Microsoft. So nothing that was open as a background program that I was utilizing is open any longer, like Notepad or Skype. All right, here, let's kill the Skype. So screw you, NSA, because here I come. And we gotta find me again. Oh, la, la, la. Honestly, do you know how much I hate this in the morning? Just all the stupid technical. Do you know how hard it is in the morning? Oh, mother. All right. Well, you know what? I'm going to have to try and call me again and just answer it over here. Now all the momentum's gone. See, that's what they'd like to do. Don't worry. I'll rant again. There, now we're on this other machine. All right, so this was part two. Oh, yeah, this is the machine with no echo, too. Here's part two now to this dog flu spreading from Asia. Very rare, but it's spreading to dogs in many states. How interesting. The second machine's doing the exact same thing the first machine was doing. Oh, here comes the twitchy eye. Oh, I'm going to get really pissed if I can't play this right now. I can't even believe this. Like, literally, I want to smash the fuck out of this machine right now. Oh! Okay, so I have two machines now. Problem loading. Server not found. Fox cannot find server at youtube.com. Firefox can't. And hey, that's what two computers gave me that error message. Wait, am I still on air? Hold on. Maybe I'm not even on air. Oh, no. My chat disconnected. Uh-oh. I might not be. Says my chat can't connect now either. Let's see. Sorry, guys. It's all right, though. It's Tuesday. Monday wasn't quite a Monday, so. And Monday was a super-powered 420 Monday, so Tuesday's making up for it. But this is oddball. It's very oddball because nothing's loading now on two computers. Come on. You know, I was just my friend that I don't agree with about anything thinks that I am just like probably the worst technical person on the planet because all these problems must not have anything to do with what I do on a daily basis with the network. It must have to do with how retarded I am on computers. And that is absolutely not the case. I was a tech for years and an engineer, and we used to laugh at people like me. Oh, it's trying really hard to get that YouTube video on this other computer. But honestly, I don't even know if I'm on air right now. I mean, I think so, but I can only see what's here. I can't tell whether or not I'm streaming out. And since I can't get chat, I can only just assume. Yeah, I guess maybe they threw a flash bomb at me because YouTube is flash, that's not loading, and chat is flash, and that's not loading as well. Oh, and no, I can't find YouTube, and I can't find chat, and it can't find Facebook, and it can't find anything now. So who knows if we're even finding the server. Oh, well, I'm just going to pretend that I'm doing a show, though. I guess if I am doing a show, that's good. If I'm not, oh, well. Let's go then to the chicken story. Since I...
Urban gets plenty of love from...
Oh,
He's a bug.
Oh. All right, here's that video 10 minutes later. Pet owners, this is now the new headline after they've established all of this, you know, pandemic flu with dogs. And then they established disease factors and being able to spread whoever's messaging me. Please don't. You know how distracting that is when you're trying to do a show, especially when nothing is working. All right, here we go.
Amanda Urban gets plenty of love from Little Wolf.
He's a bug.
But that kiss is just one way researchers say pets can transmit viruses, bacteria, and parasites. A new study from Ohio State University shows dogs, cats, reptiles, and amphibians can pass salmonella, C. diff-resistant bacteria, and roundworm and hookworm. Transmission occurs through bites, scratches, and saliva, and when owners clean up after their pets.
The organism is...
So when owners clean up after their pets, as well as kisses and everything else, it's going to... Oh, thank you, guys. I see everyone's messaging me. You're on air. You're on air. I don't know what happened here. when you get kisses, when you get bites from not only your dog, but your cat, your iguana, your lizard, which I did know. Did you know that lizards, reptiles, have salmonella on them naturally? I wonder if that's why chickens have it, too, coming from the reptile family, being related to dinosaurs. I had a lizard, and I used to get salmonella, and I always thought it was from eggs, but I bet it was from the lizard. But it used to make me very sick at times, but, you know, whatever. I love my pets. We used to dance around the house, and he would give me little kisses on the nose. He's a cute little lizard. And he liked to dance. He actually did. He liked to sit in the windowsill, too, in the sunshine and get all excited when he got warm. And then he'd try and run away from the cat. But anyway, so they're telling you now that the spit, the kisses, the scratches, the bites from your pets, after they just told us a few weeks ago about how beneficial the canine microbiome was for their human companions. Now all of a sudden they're turning it around. We got doggy flu. You could be a disease vector for your dog's doggy bird flu. Get your dog vaccinated. And oh, by the way, pet owners also go risk getting diseases from their furry friends. Now, like I said, the first time that I had ever really heard that about your dog, especially, was during the quote unquote Ebola thing. And like I mentioned also, in my personal experience, there has only been a few times in my recent past that I can distinctly say that something was passed between me and my cat, illness-wise. I mean, there was literally only one time when I was a kid, and it was a really bad flu, and they got the sneezes from it and the congestion. But this last time, this past, I don't know, it was probably late fall, early winter, we all got that lung plague here. I was sick for weeks on end, and it came, I'm pretty certain it came from my cats, and my cats are indoor cats, so where would that even come from? And then I got it, and then I passed it back to them, and I mean, the three of us, it was me and two of my cats, we were so sick, and I mean, the congestion was just like nothing I had ever seen, and there was nothing you could do to make that any better. Now, where did that, how is that possible? Just out of the blue? And I mean, maybe, but all of this to me is pointing to the fact that all the stuff we've been digging up about Plum Island and the, you know, former U.S. biowarfare program that was supposedly discontinued in the late 60s and early 70s, and Plum Island moving to Kansas and all these weird viruses then showing up, never before seen new tick virus in Connecticut. You know, never before seen tick virus in Kansas, and it killed a man, but he saved some lives. You know, this is all absolute utter bullshit. This is mad science gone mad in a petri dish. Let it out and see what happens. Let's watch them cower. So now they are warning that, yes, Mrs. and Mr. America, you also could be now at risk from catching virulent killer diseases from your pet. Hey, they don't mention bird flu in here. But why, if our dogs now are getting bird flu, and we can help our dogs spread bird flu, and bird flu can be passed to humans sometimes, and somehow this bird flu got passed to a dog, how come they haven't raised the alarm yet? Oh, ding, ding, ding. Wait a couple days. Wait for it. Why have they not raised the flag now, warning people that you might get swine flu or bird flu from your dog? I don't know if that's going to happen. But, I mean, do you see the progression here? They're stuff that we had known for a long time about interspecies spreading apparently doesn't matter anymore. And I'll never forget back 2012, maybe it was when the quote-unquote pandemic happened, that they opened up the borders to fast-tracking FDA approval for the squalene vaccine that wasn't allowed here. I'm pretty certain that in 2012, it was one of those years, but I think it was 2012, was the year that it was the first time ever they had seen bird flu, swine flu, and some other flu all mixed together that didn't normally occur in nature. Like, it literally said that in the mainstream story. And all this must be some new horrible thing caused by global warming. And that's what they're blaming this shit on. There was that dengue outbreak, first time since World War II in Japan. It's because of global warming. It's getting warmer there, and it's more now tropical. It's going to be an outbreak. Chikungunya. It's moving up. Dengue's moving into the Keys. So we got to release those Oxitec mosquitoes to combat the virus due to global warming. And you guys, this is such an ugly, scary, awful picture. So now this Petri dish, because of global warming, everything is just going to be like the genie is let out of the bottle. And I think they got millions of bottles sitting around and they're just getting ready to start popping off the caps. All right, let's play this again if it allows us, because I only made it through like 20 seconds of this video. Pet owners risk getting diseases from their furry friends. And think about it. This is going to just strike right at the heart of America, especially after they've established the oxytocin connection between you and your dog. And now your dog is going to get this horrible killer flu. Line up, get them vaccinated. This is working on the same psyche. The anti-vaxxers who won't get their children vaccinated, maybe then we can get all the dog parents on our side. And as the pro-vaxxers, if we have all of these dog owners now who are for vaccination, I think that's what they're thinking. Do you see that? People will go and protect their pet, especially if they're childless, or if they lost a child, or if they're very lonely. I mean, I lived with just my cats for many years until I was 35 or more. I know how it is. They were my kids. You know, when you live with pets, you communicate, you understand each other. It's very different than living in a household with a family and pets. There's more chaos, so that doesn't happen. But when you live singularly alone with your pets, they become friends. I mean, there's an unspoken communication that happens. I mean, I've experienced that. And with multiple cats at the same time, I understood all my cats. And they were my kids. I mean, I used to take them with me when we'd go on the weekend. We'd go to my parents' house. I mean, it probably sound funny, but whatever. I used to put them in their kitty carriers, seatbelt them in, and we'd go visit Nana and Grandpa. You know, instead of leaving them home for the weekend, especially in the summertime when it was nice. I lived in the city and it was hot and stinky and there was nothing to do. You know, my parents lived out in the suburbs and had a pool. So what the hell? And a fenced backyard that I didn't have to worry about some rabid dog coming and eating my cats. But you know what I'm saying? So I think they're going to use this connection just like now. I was talking about the divide and conquer with the anti-vaxxer movement. They really went after, because a parent will do anything to save their child because of that oxytocin. And so they struck right to the heart of America because Johnny's Disneyland vacation got ruined with measles. They started a debate in America, parent against parent. Divide and conquer. Let's sue. I mean, I literally saw articles in mainstream newspapers about let's sue parents for getting my Johnny sick because they didn't get their kids vaccinated. Are you kidding me? Hey, if you're, like we said so many times, if your vaccine works so well, then you shouldn't be worried if my Johnny didn't get vaccinated and yours did. You know, and then we find out that a lot of, and we mentioned this yesterday, the FDA fraud all over. That includes, among many other things, I'm sure, vaccine studies. Biopharma studies, nothing was ever redacted when it was found to be fraudulent or incorrect. So you can't even trust any of the studies. So you know what? Now it's all out and out war. Now we're going to attack the pets. And since we just discovered this oxytocin connection, we're going to use this to all it's worth and get these dog-loving humans. And they're even connected to their dogs through their microbiome. These dog-loving humans, we're going to get them against the anti-vaxxer parents, too. I mean, I know it sounds crazy, guys, but how there is a whole narrative. And I know my one friend tells me that I just find connections everywhere and I'm just a paranoid, crazy person. I don't think I am. You know, I'm one of those people that's been trained to look at facts. Well, they're presenting me in mainstream with these facts, so I can either believe these facts or not believe these facts. I always sit on a fence. And yeah, he calls me a fence sitter. It's a safe place to be. I sit on a fence and I assess the situation. I've said that many times before. I see dark and light. And I can be either side. I choose not to be on the one side. Sometimes I choose not to be on the other. Fence sitters are good because you get the information before you jump down and fight. All right. Anyway, I am rambling. Pet owners get risk getting diseases from their furry friends.
Amanda Urban gets plenty of love from Little Wolf.
Here's your bite.
But that kiss is just one way researchers say pets can transmit viruses, bacteria, and parasites. A new study from Ohio State University shows dogs, cats, reptiles, and amphibians can pass salmonella, C. diff-resistant bacteria, and roundworm and hookworm. Transmission occurs through bites, scratches, and saliva, and when owners clean up after their pets.
The organism is passed in the feces, in the poop of a particular pet, and people...
Stop. I'm sorry. I know. It gets annoying when I can't let a whole video play. Yes, the poop of the pet. That's how you also get toxoplasmas from cats with the bacteria or the parasite that can take over your brain. I should read that story again because we did that like a few years back. But that story and how it manipulates you. And actually, there's another good story, too, about your microbiome and the direct connect to your brain. Like way beyond anything we looked at that came out of PBS that I ran into yesterday. I mean, there's a whole, and did you notice how the microbiome along with genomics right now are probably two of the hottest buzzword issues going on in the new technologies, you know, spinning up their mad science gone mad factories, the brain project. That's why the microbiome, your gut bacteria, and this whole other network of organisms that we've always discounted or just killed with antibacterials for many years, right? It is a whole new way of communicating and influencing biology that they never took into consideration, at least in Western medicine. So just be vigilant, because I really think that they are working on now looking at hijacking these connections. And these are like the our ultimate connections. I mean, if we understand how important our gut flora is to our health, to our sanity. I mean, I just was reading something the other day that now they're thinking of, and I could have told you this a long time ago, gut flora is 100% responsible for depression or lack thereof. Gut flora, the lack of gut flora can be absolutely responsible for depression, and fixing your gut flora can potentially fix bad depression. Well, no shit. There literally is a direct connect through that vagus nerve we dug up from the gut to the brain. All right, here, let's finish this now, because I want to move on to something else.
Will inadvertently get that poop into their mouth.
Well, most people.
Hold on. We got to back up that sentence just to get that full frontal.
Clean up after their pets.
The organism is passed in the feces, in the poop of a particular pet, and people inadvertently get that poop into their mouth.
While people have very low risk of infection, Dr. Jason Stull says the most vulnerable include seniors, young children, pregnant women, and people with weak immunity.
And there we go. It's always the same people, the old people, the kids, and the people with weak immunity. And that's what any virus or bacterial ancillary infection, those are the weak people that it's gonna hit first.
He says owners need to wash their hands after handling their pets.
Those that are at increased risk should really try and discourage face-licking. Pets, whether they be dogs or cats or other animals, carry a lot of different organisms in their mouth, just like people.
Amanda has worked with pets, exotic animals, and farm animals her whole life and knows they can carry diseases.
You don't mind letting little Wolf flick your face?
Nope.
Or sleep with him, you? Or
I wouldn't have it any other way.
She says she just makes sure she practices good hygiene. Terry Okita for CBS News, Los Angeles.
See, and they just said it there. I mean, that woman has had farm animals and pets and whatever for many years and knows that they can be disease spreaders, disease vectors, but she has no concern because she just does good hygiene. I mean, come on, guys. You know that, you know, in rare cases, you can catch something from one of your animals, right? Growing up, I don't know. I honestly, I don't remember anyone ever saying I got sick from my pet. Like I said, I remember one time where I had suspected that my cat and I had passed an upper respiratory when I was a kid. But this year, it didn't happen once. It happened twice. And not between just me and one cat, but me and two of the cats. And I think actually the one cat passed it to the other cat, and then the other cat passed it back to me. But that was some nasty virus, whatever it was. So, okay, I've spent a whole morning just getting up to speed. Sorry. I was pretty beat this morning. I haven't done that in a while. 3 minutes to air, rolling out of bed. I almost didn't think I was going to make it. But, I mean, tell me if that's not strange now. This bird flu in dogs, rarely seen in the United States. So, here we go now. So, how close is Iowa to Illinois since the dog flu outbreak started in Chicago? And you know what? Let's see where else it spread to, because they weren't very specific. Dog flu in many states. Let's see where that says. I don't know. I think this is going to be the next PSYOP. It's going to be the terror with some sort of horrible disease or virus that can make your pets really sick and strike at the heart of America and attack our pets this summer. Dog flu states outbreak. That computer stopped working again. In Chicago, what you need to know. Dog flu outbreak. 6 pups dead as cases rise to 1,100. I guess there's all kinds of... In NewJersey.com, dog flu outbreak spreading. New Jersey officials warn it's this new virus, different from a previous strain of dog flu that's been circulating in the United States. This is now the bird flu. Does it really say that? Did I just see it was like the H2N2 or something? Somewhere in here I did. In August 2006, a dog flu was confirmed in 22 states, by the way, But this was a different dog flu. And how neat that that was like just 2006 when they first were talking about pandemics, right? That's when I got all my pandemic training. A new strain of flu that likely came from Asia. So this story doesn't mention and discover that it's a bird flu. That likely came from Asia's second thousands of dogs in the Midwest. The new dog flu, which has not been seen before in the U.S., I knew it, has caused death in dogs in six states, including Illinois, Wisconsin, Ohio, and Indiana, according to experts from the University of Wisconsin-Madison and Cornell University, who have been collecting and testing samples of the virus. The dog population here has never before seen this strain before, says a professor of veterinary medicine at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. The canine sickness causes symptoms similar to those in humans, such as coughing, nasal discharge, loss of appetite, and fever, though a small percentage of dogs can also be carriers of the virus without showing any symptoms. And that's what they were saying about Ebola. Do you remember that? That's why they had to destroy that dog. Well, so what's wacky? Okay, so this new virus is different from the previous strain of dog flu, which was H3N8. That has been circulating in the United States since 2004, the story says. There's a Wikipedia entry that says that in 2006 it became widespread, that H3N8, in 22 states. So it took about 2 years. This new strain is known as H3N2 and has been found in animals in China and Korea. And an infected animal probably brought it to Chicago, they say. There's a vaccine for the previous U.S. dog flu strain, but is generally given only to dogs at high risk. And we found out that this actually is a bird flu from China. So, all right, let's end it up with this. Out of Time magazine yesterday, 420 story, 5 million. And here, wait, I can disconnect Skype because I don't think there's a video here. I hate that hiss. 5 million Iowa hens to be euthanized after bird flu found. An Iowa egg laying facility is found to have chickens infected with bird flu and will see all 5.3 million of its chickens euthanized. 5.3 million people. To prevent the spread of the disease, agriculture officials said on Monday, following an initial avian influenza outbreak discovered elsewhere in the state last week. So two bird flu outbreaks now in Iowa and a fucking dog flu outbreak with over 1,100 dogs infected in four or six states now with what? Oh, bird flu. Dogs have already been established with Ebola to be disease vectors. And now we see the cherry on top. Let's go get your pets vaccinated, even though it's not the right vaccine. And oops, you can catch diseases from your pets. I mean, I really think there's some bad shit that's brewing here, guys. Think about it. All your pet Fido's running on the farm, spreading bird flu to your 5.3 million fucking chicken egg operation. Talk about... holy shit, food shortage, Batman. That could go ugly really fast. Am I hallucinating or what? I mean, when I saw this, I'm like, come on. Dogs have access everywhere. And how many millions of dogs are there? Probably more dogs than people in this country. All right, let's read the story quick. We got 2 minutes. An Iowa an Iowa egg laying facility found to have chickens infected with bird flu will see all 5.3 million of its hens euthanized to prevent the spread of the disease, agriculture officials said on Monday, following an initial avian influenza outbreak discovered elsewhere in the state last week. The U.S. Department of Agriculture confirmed the outbreak, which officials believe is being spread by migratory birds. Yes, that's how they always say it's being spread. The Des Moines Register reports. Just last week, an Iowa turkey farm had to kill 27,000 birds after the virus was detected. And while health officials say H5N2 presents a low risk to humans, the epidemic could be a big problem for Iowa farmers as their nearly 50 million hens provides how many? 1 out of 5 eggs to all of America. 1 out of 5 eggs to all of America is produced in Iowa that is now seeing a bird flu outbreak. Guys, this is some bad shit. I want to look up these two strains later. I actually got to fly out after the show for a couple hours, but I will be back. But we have two strains if anybody wants to do a little research. This new strain that they're finding in dogs and animals in China is H3N2. And the one that they're finding in the chickens in Iowa is, I believe, H5N2. Yes. H1N1, I think that, I don't know. There were so many H whatevers. And then the canine dog flu. And there was this canine dog flu from a few years ago. I really want to dig into these. And we're going to see what we can. And there's an equine virus too. Hey, maybe mosquitoes will start spreading these diseases, you think? And we'll have to get some more genetically modified mosquitoes to fix it all. I don't know, guys. All right. Well, sorry for the rough start. At least I was here. We got about 15 seconds left. That went too fast, and I still haven't woken up yet. All right. Well, guess what? It's Tuesday, so it's a great radio night. We got Mr. Kevin Blanche up next. And then this week's Nuclear Hot Seat with Libby Halevi. It's actually about uranium mining in the Grand Canyon. I highly recommend you listen. Then we got Chuck Cicelli live at 6, Primetime live at 9, and Anti-Media live at 11. So make sure you guys stick around. Everyone have an awesome Tuesday.